running on empty?
Good afternoon and welcome. You are listening to The Computer Guys. I'm Dave.
And I'm Kevin. We're The Computer Guys here from Macatawa Technologies for the next half hour to answer all your computer and technology related questions.
That's right, Kev. It's a rainy Wednesday afternoon here in the Tulip City, and we're ready for those calls. 395-1450 is our number. We'll be taking your calls onto the air here. That's the best way to get a hold of us, 395-1450.
Otherwise, you can always send us an email. It's computerguys@whtc.com. We'll be checking that throughout the show today as well as throughout the week. So if you're at a computer and you want to send us an email, again, it's computerguys@whtc.com, and we'll do our best to get to it on the show.
That's right, Kev. And of course, we have our podcast. Check that out. You can listen to The Computer Guys anytime you'd like from your computer or MP3 player. The easiest way, of course, is if you have iTunes, just search for WHTC in the music store and you'll find us there.
Mm-hmm.
And update those. Wait, what, Thursday mornings we put this show on? So it's usually not too out of date.
No.
But even so, there's always news stories that we've got here for you. Try to keep you informed of the world of technology. I was talking to Kev yesterday to a couple of people who have listened to the show here for some years, and they said they enjoy listening, and they're always amazed because, you know, technology is always changing so much, and they're wondering, how do you keep up with it? I said, well, you know, it's impossible to keep up with everything. I used to try. When I was in college and I had a little more free time, I read all the stories every day. I was trying to keep up on everything.
We hit the headlines.
But now you hit the headlines, you learn what you need to learn. And the biggest thing, honestly, is the ability to just learn new technologies or to figure them out as they come along. You know, as a computer guy here, you've got that's there's a certain characteristic among people where they have that ability to just get in and figure things out. Because I'll be honest, we fixed a lot of problems. We really had no idea what was going on.
Well,
or not a lot of knowledge about a particular software program or technology.
You know, it's kind of like going to the doctor where you got a symptom. That's what the person sees. They see a symptom. Well, the cause of that could be any number of things, and you kind of have to figure that out. So, you know, much like doctors, you know, you've got the routine ones. You would probably check those first, but let's say it's not one of those. Well, then you have to investigate further and dig deeper. And that's just kind of a mindset, so...
You know, and the other thing is computers, I mean, they have changed over the years, but for the most part, they're more or less the same. What has changed is how all the new programs that have come out, and you've got phones that interface with computers now and new types of email and Gmail. And so it is fun to keep up with it. But let's take this call here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with The Computer Guys.
Yeah, you betcha. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Well, I want to try to help my mother-in-law out. She's kind of a nice lady, and she's got a little problem with her computer. She's got one of those little issues where she tried to start the computer up, and she got probably the blue screen of death, and it says it's missing a file, and then everything goes black. And the only thing I could come up with was to put in the original disk that came with it, of course, and to reboot it to see if it could find that disk information for that missing file. That is not working. What do you guys think is going on?
Well, the first question is, did she have any important information on there, pictures, music, emails on the computer that she wouldn't want to lose?
You betcha.
Okay. Because that's the one danger of putting those CDs in is that we've had a lot of people come to our store that they had the similar problem. They put that in, and the next thing they know, the computer's working again, but they've lost all their information.
Yeah.
So the first thing is you'd want to somehow get that backed up, either by pulling the drive or bringing it somewhere where the data could be backed up. But the first thing I'd recommend is just try pulling all the devices from that, like any printers that might be attached or webcams or anything that might be attached to the computer, and see if it's still blue screens on boot.
Oh, never thought of that. I'll give that a shot. Yeah, because I thought, you know, I'd probably better get over there and pull that hard drive out and bring it home, plug it in, and see if I could manually extract all the goodies we need, like pictures.
Yep, you'll probably want to do that before you go ahead and do the whole system restore with the CD, the Windows disk.
Right.
But yeah, the first thing I try is just remove any peripherals that are plugged in.
Everything except for the keyboard and mouse.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. The next thing you'll want to try even is it Vista or XP that she's using?
That machine is XP.
Okay. If you start pushing F8 right when the computer is booting up, It'll go to a little screen that gives you a bunch of different options, safe mode with networking.
Right.
And then there's another option on there that says last known good configuration.
Right, you bet.
Try that as well, because a lot of times, you know, maybe it was a Windows update that was installed, caused a problem, and if System Restore is turned on our computer, that little last known good configuration will try to go back to that point. And we've actually had a lot of success with that throughout the years, haven't we, Kev?
Oh, yeah. Well, that or there's kind of a more technical way to go behind the scenes, but to get information that you need to be able to get it booting again. There's a little trick that we use sometimes. It's a little complicated, so I'm not sure I'm going to walk you through it over the phone. But the other thing to do is try, have you tried to boot it in safe mode yet?
No, I have not.
That would be one other thing to try, too. If it is able to boot in safe mode, it definitely might be an update or potentially a driver issue that's causing the problem. And you may be able to correct that right in safe mode.
Good.
Just by chance, did she install anything new just before this happened?
No.
No? Okay.
The only issue was the web browser would not fire up, so they were using Internet Explorer. So I loaded Mozilla Firefox on for them, and that browser was working. But it was probably about a week after I installed Firefox.
Okay, sure. So it probably wasn't directly related to that.
But I don't think
definitely
so.
Try last known configuration and safe mode and see what you come up with there. And beyond that, I'd say definitely back up that data before you go any further.
Sounds good to me. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks for your call.
It's definitely a frustrating but very common problem, Kev.
Yep, and one of the things is when you do see that blue screen or when you are getting an error message on startup, it'll usually point to a certain file. And with a little bit of research and experience, that file can actually tell you a lot about what's going wrong. So, you know, that's something, too, where if you didn't want to go through the process of, you know, reloading everything, having somebody who's done this before look at it, you might be able to correct it fairly quickly. So,
you know, Kev, my experience on Apple computers over the last few years is not what it used to be. I used to work on them and use them a lot more than I do now. But I always liked Apple's errors more than
just like Windows. The frowny face?
Well, I liked the little bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Way back in the day when it was like a fatal error and the little ticking time bomb came on there. You knew that
you
it
have
was
a
serious.
Problem.
Like when the computer error has a little bomb on it and that says you're in trouble now, you knew. I mean, it didn't necessarily help you fix the problem. And that's one of people's complaints, too, is even when the blue screen, it has all kinds of information and error codes and cryptic. It's like reading hieroglyphics, you know?
Mm, that's true.
So.
Very true.
At least with the bomb, you knew you were
you
in trouble.
You have problems. How do you fix it? I don't know. Call the bomb squad.
Bring it back to the Apple Store.
Yep.
Give us a call here, 395-1450. You're listening to the Computer Guys here on WHTC. Kev, we talked last week about Microsoft set a record with its huge amount of updates.
Yes. What did we have, 26?
That was 31 vulnerabilities were patched.
Wow.
Beating their previous record of 26.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yep, that was a big story last week, so make sure you have. You know, if you're using Windows XP or Windows Vista and you don't ever get any notifications that your computer is getting up to date, you might want to look into that because monthly Microsoft releases patches.
So. Monthly, sometimes even more than that. If they find one that's really important, they'll try and push it out real quickly. So
Kev, I know that there is a blog that you're associated with. Maybe you don't personally update it very often, but you're associated with it.
I don't, yes.
Is it still alive and active?
Oh, it is. That's my wife's undertaking, and she maintains it and does a good job with that. She really, you know, that's one of those things where, for her, that's become a great communication tool. Very passive, where you can just kind of check up and see what people are thinking. And there's a handful that she watches and, you know, kind of distills down, this one's worth checking out. So she'll leave the page open, and I go check it out later. So.
Well, Kev, according to a report in the New York Times, a 2008 survey, only 7.4 million out of the 133 million blogs that the company tracks have been updated in the past 120 days, meaning that 95% of blogs being essentially abandoned.
You know, that bothers me when people do that. So I had a friend who did that and basically just stopped updating. You know, and you go and check for a while. And again, I wasn't doing the check-in, but Jen was. She said something one day, frustration, like, why haven't they posted in so long? And so then I think the next time I was on the phone and I asked him, he goes, yeah, we just said we're done. I said, well, then sign off. I said, make it final. Say, we are not posting anymore. And then nobody will bother checking anymore. So I like it when people don't just leave it hanging out there and give some closure.
There are a variety of reasons people will put up blogs. Number one, like you said, just a form of communication. It's entertaining to find out what other people are up to. Also, a lot of people think they can make money.
Yeah, there's definitely something to that, you know, and custom blogging when you're selling a product. The crazy thing about that is, you know, blogs started out being sort of a personal thing. Well, now they're pushing all kinds of big products on blogs in an effort to make it look like a personal story. Like a good example is the weight loss ones. Like you go to somebody's weight loss blog and they try and make it look personal and friendly. And it's just some corporate, you know, blog that they put somebody's face on and telling their success story when they use their product. So that's a little annoying to me.
There's a joke within the blogging community that most blogs have an audience of one. Many people who think blogging is a fast path to financial independence also find themselves discouraged. I did some Craigslist postings to advertise it, and I very quickly got an audience of about 50,000 viewers a month, says Matt Goodman, an advertising executive in Atlanta, who had no trouble trouble attracting an audience to his site. Things my dog ate, leading to some small advertising deals. I think I made about $20 from readers clicking on the ads.
That's hilarious.
You know, you hear about a lot of stories about these moms who turn to blogging.
Yeah.
And they'll become very popular, and it's a huge thing. But there was also, this article led into another one about blogging. There was one mom who started it up, I think, 3 or 4 years ago, and how it was just stories about everyday life, being a mom, you know? There's a lot of crazy things or funny things that'll happen.
Yeah.
But after a while, she realized it was getting a little too personal. Maybe she would, you know, say something, oh, you know, my father-in-law said this to me. And, you know, it was just getting a little too personal. So, although as someone who does not blog myself, I'm not too worried about that.
Sure.
So anyway, Kev, count yourself as one of the only 5% who have active blogs.
Yes. You know, and that's funny. You talk about audience of one. There's like this crazy community where you'll get somebody's, you'll be linked on somebody else's, and then somebody will check theirs, and it follows back to you, and then you find a comment from somebody you didn't know, but you know where they came from.
Hmm.
You both go to the third-party blog, and then you kind of cross over from there. So it's kind of crazy.
Kev, there was also a big story about the mentioning of the new iPhone coming out.
Yep. A little delay there.
Well, AT&T will offer the new iPhone 3GS at a cost of $199 and $299 for the 16 and 32 gigabyte models.
Okay.
But that's only for new customers and those who qualify for the discounted price. AT&T subscribers with an iPhone 3G are not eligible for an upgrade. Those not near the end of their two-year contracts will have to pay $200 more. Ooh. This is obviously upsetting a lot of people because, as we all know, iPhone or Apple users are very loyal to their brand.
They are.
And when they feel they have to pay a premium for the new product, they complain.
That's true. They do.
And, you know, that it's a legitimate argument. I'm always annoyed when, you know, the cell phone companies offer these great deals to switch. But to existing customers, it's kind of like, nah, don't worry about it.
Or we already got you. You know, we don't need to treat you well. Yeah. I don't want to see that reversed. I want to see them do some customer appreciation incentives.
Well, maybe we will.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the new iPhone. You said that was
Yeah, there was a delayed. Delay. What did I just... I read something that it's going to be delayed a little bit. iPhone OS 3.0, the release is coming out Wednesday, supposedly. I don't know if that was released before that. iPhone owners can get it from iTunes for free, and iPod Touch users can get it as well, but for $10. So it's the OS 3.0 operating system for current iPhones.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break here. You're listening to the Computer Guys on 1450 WHDC.
It's good to be green. Lush green grass. Now show your colors with a rainbow of flowers accenting your home. The flower sales have started at Barron's Flower Gardens. Extra large bush geraniums are $19.95 and save $3 off hanging baskets. You'll love the huge selection of perennials at $3 for $12 at Barron's Flower Gardens with two locations in Drenth and at Van Wieren Hardware. At Barron's, you get a generous 48 plants per flat. Major credit cards are accepted.
when the summer heats up. So do the Tiger Bats on 1450 WHTC. We've got the Tigers, and that means you've got season-long action on Holland's hometown station. Brought to you in part by Repco Light Paints, Mervine Beverage, and CarStar Collision Service Centers of Ottawa and Elgin Counties. Join the Tiger broadcasting crew of Dan Dickerson and Jim Price for the 2009 Detroit Tigers. Tune in for Major League Baseball on your home for Tiger Baseball, 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.
Holland's hometown forecast from WHTC.com. For the rest of the day today, showers at times throughout the afternoon, high 67. Partly cloudy tonight with isolated showers, low 55. Tomorrow, partly sunny, high 79, but cooler along the lakeshore. Friday, showers and thunderstorms, likely high 84, but again, cooler along the lakeshore. Currently at 64 in Zeeland. At Tulip City Airport, under cloudy and hazy conditions, relative humidity is 81%, winds out of the northeast at 3 miles an hour. It's 66 degrees in Holland, and the water temperature at Holland State Park is 53, with a green flag flying. For the latest radar updates and weather conditions, log on to WHTC.com.
Stay informed with the latest world and national news from CBS. It's just minutes away on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.
Are you running on empty?
Welcome back. You're listening to the Computer Guys here on 1450 WHTC. If you're listening and have any questions about your computer, have any problems with it, we'd be happy to help out. Give us a call here, 395-1450. Kev, there's a new laptop coming out here at the end of October.
Oh, yeah?
But not this year, 2009. But there's an even cooler one coming out a year for that. Now, new laptops come out all the time. And that's not necessarily very exciting.
Probably a couple times a month.
Or
from
more.
From somebody.
Seems like that every week they're changing something. But, and this is no disrespect to Acer, but this, you know, in my opinion, usually there's not very much exciting news from Acer.
Sure.
But Acer plans to launch a 15.6-inch 3D notebook, which the company jointly developed with Winstron. They plan to develop or release that at the end of October 2009, so coming up this fall. The notebook features built-in software, which can convert regular 2D movies to 3D and will also directly support 3D movies. Currently, users still need to wear stereoscopic glasses for the 3D to be effective. However, Acer is developing a model without the need for glasses, although it still has quite a few technological obstacles to overcome. The notebook will be equipped with Windows 7, and therefore Acer will not make an official announcement until Microsoft launches the OS, they noted. In addition to Windows and Android models, Acer is also working on its third-generation netbook, which will feature a similar concept as MIDs or SmartBooks, with strong network connectivity and convenience, and it targeting a launch in the third quarter of 2010. So a 3D notebook, Kev, that would be, although you do have to wear the little funny glasses.
You know, they should just give you some funny contacts you can wear. You know, they just turn on whenever you're looking at the screen or something like that. They're like Bluetooth enabled.
Well, maybe that's what
so
they
the
mean
rest
when they're
of the
working
time they're
on.
Fine.
Maybe that's what they mean by their quote. They're working on technological advances that they don't have yet.
They're working on fake eyeballs. That's what they're working on, computerized eyeballs.
Well, you know, when you think about it, I mean, you know, they can't really make the screen any more high resolution than it. I mean, they can, but
yeah, kind of
you really can't see
the
pixels anymore. You know, it's such a high resolution that it's, I mean, you really have to put, and Kev, if you had to use your laptop all day long, as close as you just.
Ridiculously close here, and I still not seeing the pixels, so.
Yep. So, I mean, they can't make that, so...
What do you do next?
3D, is that the next thing? Without glasses, hopefully? Yes.
I think they've done that in a regular monitor, or at least somewhat before.
Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the Computer Guys.
I have a quick question. I just recently switched to Gmail for my email, and when I log into it, it sends me to ask.com, and I can't seem to get to Gmail. Do you have any idea why that would be the case?
When you log into your Gmail account, it sends you to ask.com?
Right. I just type in gmail.com in my browser, and it sends me to ask.com.
Well, do you have any toolbars in your browser? Do you have, like, an ask.com toolbar?
Yes. Uh-huh.
You might want to try uninstalling that. certain toolbars try and kind of take over, okay. and they'll try and redirect you. If you go into your control panel, into your programs listing, you'll find a reference there for the Ask toolbar. Just go ahead and uninstall that and see if that takes care of it for you.
Fantastic. I appreciate that very much.
No problem.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Hey, bye. And let us know, too, if that works. I'd be interested to know.
What was that? I missed that.
Oh, as I said, just say, give us a call back next week and let us know if that worked for you, because that's a new one. I have not heard of that problem before.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, thanks a lot. Kev, that's a good thought. I would not have thought to recommend that.
Yeah, there's those toolbars, they look innocent. They look like, oh, they only affect you if you type into their little box. No, they'll take over everything. They're kind of sneaky like that. So unless it's a toolbar that you really use, I'd probably recommend running without toolbars. And the annoying part is that it gets harder and harder. Even with the new Java updates, by default, unless you uncheck the box, it will install the MSN toolbar. So you end up with toolbar after toolbar after toolbar, and then your little browser window is not so big anymore. So
what's the most you've ever seen? Four toolbars?
Probably five. Okay. I think a stack of five.
I don't think I've ever seen more than three or four.
It's crazy.
But it was on a smaller screen, and half the browser was these little toolbars.
Yep, and then you get somebody who doesn't even, you don't even know where to type anymore. Yeah. You've got the address bar, and then you've got all your toolbar queries. So type it up there somewhere, and you'll eventually get where you want to go. That's what they're thinking.
Kev, Facebook is king, but Twitter makes waves. This is a story from CNNMoney.com. Time spent on Facebook, Twitter grows by leaps and bounds since last year. MySpace minutes tumble, but still dominant in video streams. Users now spend more time on Facebook than any other social network site.
Wow.
Much more. But other sites are growing quickly, and experts say no social network is safely on top of the market. According to a report released last week Tuesday by Nielsen, Facebook users logged 13.9 billion minutes on the site in April. Compares to 5 billion minutes on MySpace, 300 million minutes on Twitter, and 200 million minutes on LinkedIn.
Hmm.
A lot of time. Time on Facebook soared 700% since April 2008, compared to a 31% drop in time spent on MySpace.
Yeah, that's amazing.
LinkedIn's minutes grew almost 70%.
Mm-hmm. And if you haven't heard of that, that's more of a professional social networking site where basically business professionals come together and network for job opportunities and other information like that. So
MySpace, Kev, was once the dominant social network in April 2008. Get this, 73% of the total time spent on social networks was spent on MySpace alone.
That was April 2008?
Yep, 1 year and 2 months ago.
Look how fast it comes and goes.
The scene has rapidly changed. Social network users spent just 23% of their time on MySpace in April 2009, compared to 66% for Facebook. And that's the crazy thing. These things change. You know,
oh, yeah.
Now, granted, MySpace was, I don't know, I know your feelings on social networking, but so we won't ask your opinion.
That's
on
right.
It, but, MySpace, it was a little bit different.
It wasn't really developed to be a social networking site.
Right. That's what it turned into.
Yeah. It was pretty much developed for musicians to share their music and to, you know, get some publicity, free publicity, get their music out there, get noticed, be able to communicate with fans. And then it kind of morphed into this, you know, social networking site, and it enjoyed its time in the sun, and it's been eclipsed.
Yep.
Now, I think musicians still stand by it.
Sure.
Because it is an easy way for them to distribute stuff, but usually there is a Facebook component as well.
The surprising one there is Twitter. You know, most of the people who sign up for Twitter are one and done, or maybe two. And it's funny because I don't know. I know a lot of people who use Twitter. I don't get it, I guess you would say. I don't know why I would want to let you know, Kev, that I'm having spaghetti for dinner.
Because, you know, it's really important, Dave.
Well, that's
really
the thing.
Important.
I mean, a lot of people do it.
I need
it,
to know what you're
it.
Having for dinner.
Well, see, and I guess it comes
so
down
to
personality.
So then tomorrow when I see you, I can ask you how your spaghetti was.
You know, I think it comes down to your type of personality. You know, there's a lot of people, they like to spend time chatting on the phone.
Sure.
And Twitter is an easier way to just let people know those little things that are going on.
But that would be interesting to see if you could look at personality types who use different stuff like that.
Oh, you were sending me an email the other day of the amount of Dell sales that go because of Twitter alone. Was it $3 million just on Twitter?
Yeah, Dell's capitalized on that. They've set up a whole, you know, Twitter division, and they'll send out sort of quick sales on Twitter and everything. They've had a good response from that.
Stake the skull here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Good afternoon, guys. I have a thing that's flashed up on the bottom of my computer screen there, where it's a little shield where usually it says, you know, if you got Windows updates, and it is red now. And I click on that, and it says your virus protection might be outdated. Please check your subscription and update. I go on there. I'll go click on that. I check it out. It does a scan of the whole computer. It does the cleanup. It does the tune-up. Defrag, all this stuff there. Everything comes up okay. I've gone to the Norton antivirus, which I have, make sure the definitions are all updated. But the thing is still on there after I've done all this. And, in fact, I've done it a couple of times. And it's still, that alert is still at the bottom of my screen there. And every time I click on it, it still says, I believe it says virus definitions outdated or whatever.
Well, there are a couple of things you could do. The first thing is that the actual Windows Security Center.
Yes.
It is. It's not a, because there are some fake ones out there that'll look like the Windows Security Center, and it's actually trying to get you to buy their antivirus. It's not. I mean, it's, it sounds like it is the legit one. For instance, here on this computer at the station, they've got automatic updates turned
on. Which
off
I do. Phone. Oh, I do have mine turned on. That's why, okay. I have all the updates.
Yep.
Do you, what'd you say your antivirus was?
Norton.
Okay. The Internet Security 360 or just the standalone antivirus?
Oh, boy. I couldn't tell you that.
Okay. Now, you said it was up to date. That's based on just going and logging in, or did you actually run the live update?
I run the live run day, the live update, and it, just to make sure.
Okay, and it came back saying you're fully up to date?
Fully up to date.
Okay. It typically what it is they, it goes back and forth with, because they change how that works, and if for some reason the two programs don't communicate properly, you'll get that pop-up. Usually within a week or two after one of the parties updates their product, like if they know that this is a known issue, what they'll do is Symantec will release something that'll correct that issue.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I'm assuming already that you've rebooted the computer and it still pops
up.
Yes,
I do.
Okay.
That to make sure, you know, make sure all the updates are
okay. My guess is if this just started, it probably started after one of the companies released an update that caused that, you know, that synchronized relationship to break. Mm-hmm. And then they're just throwing out that alert. If it doesn't go away, you can turn that function off and say, don't monitor it. I'll monitor it myself.
I see that checkbox.
And if that's just to kind of get the annoying window out of there, as long as you stay on top of the updates yourself, mm-hmm. and you just verify that Symantec's doing his job, it's not a problem.
Because it does it every morning, like 3 a.m. It checks for updates every day.
So. Yep, the Windows updates, and then Symantec will do it, depending on the version you have, at whatever frequency. I would say give it a week or so, and if it hasn't gone away in a week and you're really bothered by it, you may just want to turn that off.
Okay.
Usually we see it with some of the more fringe products, not so much with Symantec. The one other thing you could potentially do is just to reinstall your Symantec. It might be more trouble than it's worth, but it would probably fix it.
Well, now, if I got that over through the internet there, I do not have a disk of that. Can I still go online and get that?
Well, there should, depending on how long ago you downloaded it, might be able to re-download it.
Yeah, I got 270 days left on this.
Or when you downloaded it, there's probably a file on your computer that you installed from. If you can find that file, that's where you would reinstall it from.
Okay.
So a couple things for you to try.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks for your call.
You bet. Bye.
Had that on antivirus program one time, so I just disabled that.
Yep, and it doesn't communicate with all antivirus programs. They do their best, but usually the smaller or even the older the program, the less it's able to communicate with it. So, and again, you know, I've seen this before, and it just kind of resolves itself in a week after somebody kind of fixes the problem. So, yep. Hey, wow, that went fast. That means it's the end of another show. Thanks for tuning in today. If you weren't able to tune in, always check out the podcast. Easiest way to do that, Apple iTunes, WHTC into the music store, and listen to our show or any old shows. If we weren't able to take your call, give us a call during the week. 394-4940 is our number. We are from Max Tower Technologies. We're located on the south side of Holland, 399 East 32nd Street. That's one block west, the corner of 32nd and 31.
That's right, Kev. Well, be sure and tune in next week here Wednesday afternoons, 12:30 to 1 with the computer guys here on WHTC. Thanks again for listening. Thanks for calling. And we'll be back next week.